Song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry.
Good evening. As Paul stated, I'm Don, one of the deacons here at Submerged Church. Can't see a thing with these things on. I like that song. I really like that song. I think of it every once in a while when I'm on vacation or doing different things. And I thought, man, I didn't think of it right now. I mean, what a great thing to just not to be worried and to be happy in the Lord. So thank you for being here. I chose this message because worries, I'm not like a big worrier, but I'm kind of a high-strung guy, and I get kind of antsy, a little anxious, that kind of thing, so it's really much the same bucket as I go through this message tonight, as God got a hold of my heart. And I was thinking, a couple weeks ago, I thought, man, I'm going to call the guys, Pastor Bob and Pastor Paul, and say, yeah, I'm moving. I've got lots of things going on at the office. I got still living with Bob and Lila out of a suitcase, and I don't own a house yet. I got so much going on. I'm going to have all this going on, planning a big party for our office at our lake home. I was thinking, man, I just cannot put together a message. Just kind of getting a little antsy, anxious about it. So I looked over, and I saw this DVD sitting there, and it said, Worry-Free Living. And I said, okay, God, I'm on. I'm in. I'm all in. Let's do this thing. So on the big idea, it's really been laid on my heart that worry really does have no place in the life of a believer. There is no place for it. So the simple answer is just don't do it. So let's pray one more time. Lord God, let us hear from you tonight on the subject of worry. Oh God, that we would take the truth of your word and that we would cast those burdens on you. And we'll listen to all the ways that you want them from us as we go forward now. In Jesus' name, amen. This little girl up on the screen here, this is Hadley Mae Larson. Hadley Mae is my six-year-old grandbaby. That's her with her little brother, Bo, there. And she taught me an unbelievable lesson on anxious and worry here this last winter. We were at our home in Arizona, and everybody's off running, golf cart, doing whatever they're doing, and she and I were the only ones at the house. And she goes, hey, Grandpa, let's go in the hot tub. I said, yeah, right on, let's go in the hot tub. So I go in to the place where the hot tub key is because we keep it there for locked up for kids and stuff, and the key's not there. I'm going, oh, man, where's the key? Why, I can't find the key, Hadley. And she goes, well, where'd you see it last? I said, well, see, if I knew that, honey, I would probably have it in my hands. I'm running around, but 10 minutes... looking under rocks, because at the time I didn't have a keychain. It was just on a little tiny, tiny little key. And I said, man, it's not there. And she goes, well, Grandpa, you just got to think. You got to think more. I don't think you're thinking very much. I said, Hadley, I'm thinking a lot, honey. I love that little sweetheart. Like, you wouldn't believe it. She's kind of like irritate me a little bit, like, jeepers. So then she finally says, Grandpa, do you know what I do when I lose something? I said, yeah, what do you do, Hadley? Where was that key? She goes, all I do is I pray to God, and then he tells me where it is. And I said, oh my goodness, Hadley Mae, what wisdom you have, honey. You're right. We haven't prayed about this. So we sat on the hot tub steps, prayed that God would give us clarity and try to recover and find where that key is. So I kid you not, like after I was done praying with her, I could feel it just kind of freeing up, like opening up, like, man, I can think again. Okay, I got a little clarity here. Man, where's that key? So then she chimes right in. She goes, when was the last time you opened the hot tub, Grandpa? I says, yeah, yesterday morning, honey. And then, but everybody's went in it, and I didn't go in it, and, you know, they locked it up, and it turns out they didn't lock it up. So then she goes, well, when was the last time you locked it? I said, you know what? I locked it up before we went down to the clubhouse for supper last night. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. Went to the dirty laundry, checked my jeans in that little jean pocket. There's the key. I said, oh, my goodness, Hallie. I said, it's here. Praise God, we found the key. And she goes, I knew it, Grandpa. So what a lesson. What an incredible lesson from a six-year-old. And that has really, really stuck with me since that day. Worry-free living. Now, how many in this room worry? Okay. How many maybe worry more than they should? A few of you, how many have trouble telling the truth? Come on. We all worry. My goodness, it's in nature. We all just, we worry. We do it. Webster's Dictionary says worry is to afflict someone with mental distress, subject to constant nagging. Next PowerPoint. Worry cannot change the past, but it certainly can ruin the present. And it does that so often. For me, when I let it get the best of me, this anxious stuff. Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, the Apostle Paul declares that boldly, in nothing, nothing be anxious. It's not in some things, not every once in a while, in nothing. No matter what's going on, in nothing, be anxious. So to worry about what you cannot help is totally useless. Total waste of energy. Tonight, I'm going to share a few biblical truths on this subject of worry. Worry and fretting, anxious, like I said, it's all in the same kind of bucket. And if you think about it, it really is a reflection of your personal irritation with God. That's a crazy statement. Really, it's a reflection of you're kind of personally irritated with God. You have to be. When I do it, I have to be, because I'm not proclaiming the worry of the burden to him. I'm just sucking it all in, taking all that burden on myself. So what an interesting reflection of that. We're kind of irritating God by not, God saying, cast your cares on me. We sang it tonight. Bring your burdens to me. Just don't worry. God is on the throne. If I think of maybe how it maybe irritates God a little bit, perhaps, is if my wife and I are driving to somewhere I've driven to 50 times, I know exactly where I'm going. I can do it in my sleep. And if she said, Don, that's not the way. I know it's not the way. You're driving the wrong way. You're going to get us lost. I just know it. I said, honey, this is the way. I just know it's the way. And if she said, I don't trust you. I do not trust you, Don. I don't trust that you know where you're going. Boy, that would sting. What an irritant. What an irritation that would be to me if that happened. Thankfully, it didn't. But don't worry. God really is on the throne. God is the great physician. God is the great healer. Jesus has healed. And Jesus heals people every day. Don't worry about your finances. This is a big one for people. The Lord's in charge of this department. But mind you, much of this is based on your ability or heart. God wants your heart for your tithes and your offerings. That's a whole nother sermon. But David says, you should be like a tree planted by living water. Malachi 3:10, I've referenced this in the past. I've claimed this verse. God says to me, in your finances, test me. Test me in your tithes and offerings. See if I'll throw open the floodgates of heaven. You won't have enough room for it. Don't worry about your children's future. King David in the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging for bread. Jesus has said, I will never leave you or forsake you, even unto the end of the world. Don't worry about politics in our country today. Past couple of years, this has kind of got me wound up tighter than a drum, some of the politics of today. And I was letting it just not consume me, but it was kind of nag at me for maybe an hour when I watched the news a little bit in the morning. So I said, you know what? Done. Done with that, God. You got the politics. I don't need to deal with it. I still enjoy politics. I like to kind of follow what's going on. So I just gave it all to God. So it doesn't mean I don't pray for President Trump every day. I do. I pray that he would seek godly wisdom as he leads our land. I pray for other government officials. So we still pray for them, and then I forget about it. Then I'm done. Then I'm moving on with the day. The Holy Spirit, this is a whole another sermon too, but don't worry about the feelings you have like when you're overwhelmed with a huge crisis. They come about us. When you get a big crisis, don't be overwhelmed. God says, his word says, greater is he, Holy Spirit, greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. That's talking about the Holy Spirit in our life. Don't worry about your past failures. I mean, oh my goodness, there's people that I talk to all the time that just cannot get out of that past. Just living in the past. It's not healthy. God doesn't consult and look back at your past and say, hey, I remember this. Those are gone. Once that's forgiven, God forgets it. It's gone. It's cast into the sea. It's no more. So forget about it. So if God's going to forget about it, why shouldn't you? Why shouldn't me? Of course we should. God's grace, listen to this key word, God's grace erases all of your past, all of my past sins by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They're erased. They're gone. Forgiven. Clean slate. Don't worry about our marriages. If you and your spouse obey the word of God, duct tape's not going to hold it together. Counselors aren't holding it together. Books, self-help books are not holding it together. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. I submit to everybody that I've ever had the opportunity to perform their marriage ceremony to wear out your Bible. Wear that thing out. It's better to have a worn-out Bible than a worn-out marriage. In our lives, we should have, let's make our Bibles fall apart instead of our lives falling apart. I know I want to cling more to reading the Word and reading my Bible. I encourage you to men to spend less time with Dr. Phil and the love novels and all these different things and all the different, lots of sporting events, all these things. Replace that with some Bible time. And I'm not suggesting, I'm not a whack job. I'm not suggesting don't go to a Vikings game. I'm not suggesting don't watch your favorite comedy on TV. I'm not suggesting don't go to the Bison football game. I'm suggesting to replace some of that time with more Bible time. That's my encouragement. It's my encouragement to me. Next slide. The Bible is the remedy. The Bible is the remedy for worry-free living. It's right there. It's right in front of us. God's word is the remedy. And if we humble ourselves, therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We sang it again tonight. Cast all your cares upon him. And anytime I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. I don't know how to sing, but anyway. I like to think Paul's going to teach me one day. That's a whole other story, too. So when you get home tonight, that's my little prop here. When you get home tonight, I would encourage you to literally do a little physical exercise. Take a bucket, take a box, take whatever, take a pen and paper, and write out, I am done worrying about the barking dog next door. Take that sheet of paper, put it in here. I am done worrying about the slow leak on the tire of my car. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're consuming, be done with it and then say, Lord God, these are yours. I'm done with it. I've had enough of it. I've had enough of trying to bear all this burden on my own. I'm tired of not being reverent and irritating you with not giving you my burdens. Take them all. Take them all from me. How do you feel when a person casts their burdens on you? In other words, someone's stuck in the snow, you get the knock on the door, yeah, stuck in the snow, and you help them get out. Or how do you feel when a friend comes to you with maybe a little relationship problem, or they need some advice on some financial investment, or whatever they do, and you're able to help them. You're able to help them. That feels awesome. That feels so good. It feels so good. So think about that. Think about that when God, Almighty God, we do that with him. Think of the emotion we feel, how good it is when someone comes to us and we can help them, can solve their problem. Just think about what God feels like when our Heavenly Father feels that reliance. He feels that reliance. You're broken, you're on your knees, and you're just giving it all to him. Just think about how good that makes our Heavenly Father feel. Just amazing. God wants you to be dependent. God wants you to be dependent on him. And the verse for that is very appropriate, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God is asking you to give him all of your burdens, all your cares, all your worries. David says, be anxious for nothing. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord is with us. You know, just wrap our heads around that. I'm not going to fear about the trouble and all the angst and all the things on this earth when the Lord is with me. Now, reminder or note of a little expectation when you do your ceremony and you put all your worries in that bucket and you cast them all to Jesus and say they're yours. Don't misunderstand the message and the expectation. I want to be clear. Jesus may not give you the exact results you want for each one of those burdens in that bucket, but here's the key. Might not get exactly what you're looking for in our life, in our world, but have peace and trust. Have that peace and trust in Almighty God with that bucket of worries and cast them onto him and then worry no more. Once they're in God's bucket, worry no more. They're not yours anymore. It's your choice. You can roll through life on that burden and you can hang on to it for a year, 5 years, 10 years, future burdens, you can hang on to them. It happens all the time. But God doesn't want that. God knows what we have need of. God knows more about you than you know about yourself. He knows every hair on your head is numbered. You don't know. You don't have a clue. But God knows. He knows those things. And he wants to take care of you with those things. Jesus says, look at the birds. I'm taking care of them, feeding them. They're all right. They got a coat on them. How much more than I want to love you and take care of you than the birds of the air? I did a message here a month ago or so on I was talking about how I get a little bit antsy and I don't have the patience to count to 10. So I was talking about praying to 10 instead of counting to 10. So in this illustration with worry, why not just replace that worry with praying? Just try to replace the worrying with the praying. And it works every time. It's that simple. So the big picture on that is, why worry when we're covered by the blood of Christ? We got nothing to worry about. God says, give me your burdens, Don. Give me your burdens. Everyone in this room, he wants those burdens. The Bible again says, ask and you shall receive. The Bible says, call upon me and I will answer. The Bible says, nothing is impossible to those who believe. Be anxious for nothing. Our God is an awesome God. You may be listening today and saying, oh boy, yeah, you just chirping away up there, Don. You have no idea. You have no idea what I am going through right now. And guess what? I don't. I don't have any idea what some of you are going through. But you know what? Almighty God in heaven knows. And Almighty God in heaven wants those burdens. Cast them upon him. I'm not smart enough to figure out my own problems. If my wife was, she didn't marry me because of my brain. She's told me that. She did not marry me because of my looks. She's told me that too. I said, why are you still with me? She goes, you make me laugh. I said that's what I got going for me. I said, well, and then a couple years later, she said, you need some new material. So then I'm like, I don't know. Oh, I love my wife. But I said, I'm trying to hang in there. Laughter's what I got going. I got to try to keep you. So I just love her. But I'm not smart enough to figure out my own worries. I'm not. So I give them to God. I really do. And I'm trying to get better and better at casting every care on him. I've learned so much from putting together this message on that very subject. This next slide, it might sting a little bit, and you might say, I'm not sure if I'm biting on that. But it is. Worry is sin. Worry is sin. Paul read it in today's scripture. I'm not going to read all the verses again, but just these couple. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you're going to wear. Can any of you, by worrying, add one single hour to your life? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Worry really is, I was thinking as deeply, it's having Worry is having faith in the actual fear. You got more faith in the fear when you worry than you actually do in Jesus at that moment. Maybe I'm not saying your whole life, but you got more faith in that fear, that problem, than you have in Jesus at that moment. Just amazing how we get to that point. Worry is utterly, totally worthless. Totally worthless. Worry just breeds nothing but problems. But it's the way we are built. So it's all people worry. Rich people worry. Poor people worry. Everybody worries. Young people worry. Old people worry. People in debt worry. People with no debt worry. It just happens. People worry. Story of a rich man. He had his friend over. This rich guy's got his friend over, and he's saying, "Hey, buddy, come and look at this classic car. I got this classic Lamborghini, 1967. That's how far the performance goes back on this beautiful, shiny 1967 Lamborghini. Did you know that?" And his friend said, that's real nice. Did you know that my Chrysler van goes back to the bank on the 15th of this month? See, worries. He's got some worries. And just think of the paradigm there with that man talking about that Lamborghini. This guy's got problems making the car payment. We all have it. Psychiatrists tell us today, 1 in 4 people have worries, problems, they're anxious, and they come to them for help. So 1 in 4, pretty high number. 1 in 4 people are going to a psychiatrist because they have problems and they have worries. So that just tells me, if you're sitting around with a group of 3 other people and they seem A-okay, it's probably you. So we all got the worries. It's just the way we're built. We can't get away from it because it's human nature. We worry about our bodies. We worry about how we look. Some worry because, man, just not married yet. I'm still not married. I'm kind of worried about that. Others worried because they are married. I mean, it's just worry. It's amazing. It's like that dark cloud I was talking about earlier. When that key was lost for that hot tub, I was clouded. It's just like a dark cloud. It's only a hot tub key, no big deal. I can break the latch if I want to get in, but I was clouded by that. It can cause us not to see answers when sometimes they're just clearly laid out in front of us. Worry paralyzes our minds so we cannot produce. Worry robs the body of rest at night. Restless night's sleep. Have you ever, I'm sure this has happened to you. I know it's happened to Bob. If you're sleeping at night and you're kind of a little cold and a little chilly and it's kind of bugging you and it's kind of cold. Bob, has that happened to you? It's probably cold right now. Bob, I'm out. I moved out, so I can say this stuff now. I've been booted out of the house. 4 months at the Bartlett's and I'm out. No, Bob and Lila are just absolutely so sweet. I had all this stuff going on with the move and all these things, planning this office party and things. Here's how God works things out. I go there for chicken soup last night to Bob and Lila's, and I got a punch list like I can't even believe, but I'm going, I'm doing the message on worry and anxious, I'm done. That'll all work out. It doesn't really matter. It is what it's going to be. And at the supper table last night, having chicken soup, what does Bob say? Hey, if you need any help, I can come out on Friday all day and help you do something. I said, I got enough stuff for you to do for a year, Bob. And then Lila says, hey, Monica, I can help Monica come out too and help Monica. And so Bob and Lila are coming out Friday, and I got a chore list. It's going to be awesome. They both said they like to work, so we're going to see how much love they have for that work. It's going to be great. So things get taken care of is the point. So I'm back to my story. You're laying in bed, and it's kind of cold, kind of chilly, and I've done it. You've probably done it. We're too worried about getting up, and we'd rather just be too worried about the cold when another blanket's 8 feet over there. But we don't get up because we don't make a change. We just sit there. We got a little problem, but we don't make a change. So there's a solution for that problem with the sleeping thing. Have your spouse get up and get the blanket. I mean, figure something out. I mean, be creative. There's ways to fix the problem if you want to change that problem. Doctors say today that worry can be the cause of health problems like high blood pressure, ulcers, even heart disease. Worry really is just believing in despair. It's just no good. There's an old man quoted as saying, "Most of the trouble I've had in my life never even happened." Think of that. It's so true. Old man says, "Most of the trouble I had in my life never even happened." Worry. Utterly, utterly useless. It's like a rocking chair. If you sat up here and we set a rocking chair right up here on this line and you sat and rocked at that thing, you rocked for, I'm thinking, I got this going, I got that going. You rock in that chair for 2 hours, two solid hours on the rocking chair. After 2 hours, where are you? You're in the exact same spot. You spent 2 hours rocking, worrying, whatever you're doing, worrying about that. Utterly, utterly worthless. You're in the same spot you were before you even started rocking with that worry. Worry's never solved the problem for anyone, anytime, anywhere, ever, period. Worry's never dried one single tear, ever. Worry's never even provided even a partial answer, even a little tiny piece of an answer. Worry's never provided any of that. It's never, ever happened. God's word tells us that. So if it's absolutely, utterly worthless, why do we do it? Anybody? Not trusting God? Correct, Lila? But what's built in us? Why do we do it? Because we're inherently sinful. We do it because we have sin. We can't get away with it. So here's a big deal. We can't change the sin in our nature. It's in our nature. We can try to be as best we can, but we got sin nature. But we can transfer it. Think about that. Oh, what redemption. We can transfer that sin. We can transfer that worry. Transfer it to God. He wants it. God's begging for these burdens that we have. Get rid of them. Take the bucket of sins and give them to God. He wants them. Some people worry about a job. Oh man, I need a job. I haven't worked for about 8 months. Get a job. Do something. Don't be so picky. It might not be exactly what you want to do, but get a job. Go do something. The Bible says the righteous will rise up. Do something. Those exploits that the Bible says if we do them, we will get something out of that problem. Some people worry about their past, and it's just in Christ where it's already been forgiven. I've already talked about it. So in closing, I want to share just a couple last thoughts. Life is God's gift. Next slide is life is God's gift to you. What you do with your life is your gift. That's your payment back to God. It's your gift back to God, what you do with your life. Worry-free living is a testimony to God. It really is that you trust him in every single area, every area of your life. Some people say, you know what? When I get in an ideal situation, yep, neighbor John and Mary, they got things going on over there. They got a four-wheeler, a boat. They got an ideal deal. They got a lake home. They got it made. When I get in that ideal situation, then I'm done worrying. No such thing. There's no ideal husband. There's no ideal wife. There's no ideal job. There's no ideal business. No ideal church. Isn't out there. So that's out of the question. Throw that one out in the trash. Some people say, when I retire, when I retire, and I can do a little dance and a happy dance. When I retire, then it's over. My worries are over. Done worrying when I'm retired. There's only one problem with that when you're retired and you say you're done worrying and you say, I'm just going to sit and watch the sunset. The flaw in that is you're too old to stay up to see the sunset anyway. So it's not going to work. All these things are just not going to work. You ever look at a baby's face? Sweet Revi Amon. That is one of the cutest little kids, because my grandbabies are cuter, but it's one of the cutest kids. There's not a stitch of worry on Revi Amon's face. There's not 1 ounce of worry on his face. Little Hadley May, that picture I had up there, and her brother Bo, not 1 ounce of worry. How come there's no worry on a kid's face? There isn't, because they got total trust. Total, utter trust in mom and dad. They trust in mom and dad. They're at peace. They know they're going to be taken care of. They don't got any worries. There's no worry on that child's face. So if you're a child of God today, I'm going to challenge you on this. If you're a child of God right now, shouldn't you look up at your Father's face in heaven right now with no worry on your face? If you utterly, totally trust God and you're a child of God, shouldn't you say, yeah, no worries. You said, should be wiped off your face. So God's revealed again that truth to me about no place, as the big idea says, worry has no place in the life of a believer. Just don't do it. Last item, I worked with a guy that he would look over and we'd be in business together and people we were working with, he goes, that guy's never going to make it. That girl's never going to make it. He's never going to make it. I said, why, Brian, why? Because they got stinking thinking. They got a 6-inch problem. 6 inches from here to here, in between, stinking thinking. You are what you think about. And 9 out of 10 times he was spot on. Spot on. So the medicine, or I guess the penicillin for worry I talked about earlier, is faith in Almighty God and the Bible. God's word, that's the medicine. Oh, to those who receive the peace of God. He only gives that peace to those that surrender and submit to him wholly and ask him into their lives. Why? That's why Isaiah said the wicked are like the troubled sea. They're in constant turmoil. Again, the Bible says don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. God says, I am the burden bearer. Give me your burdens. Stop. Stop today. All your worries in Jesus' name. Cast those worries upon him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Lord of my life. Oh God, I'm not going to worry about yesterday. I'm not going to worry about today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. God, by faith I go forward and I submit all the burdens that I have to you and I cast all my cares upon you. And anytime I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Lord God, thank you for the promise of your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.